Today on Seculo, it's over. Trump defeats Jack Smith.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
The Seculo, we are taking your calls too. 1-800-684-3110. As you can see, different place, different color background. We're traveling, but we are still working and busy here at the American Center for Law and Justice. Happy New Year's Eve. This is such a critical day for us at the ACLJ, so I wanted to be with you live and absolutely just let you know why this is such a critical day. This is the day of the year, this final day of the year, where we usually raise the most money from you, our donors, in a single day. And so it's so important because this is the final day to take part in our triple match. And what that means is if you donated $1,000 to the ACLJ as part of your year-end giving, that would be the equivalent of $3,000 to the American Center for Law and Justice. But if you could only give $20 right now, that would be $60 donated to the American Center for Law and Justice. And I want to just take you inside that for a bit. That $60 would still be more than our average donation for the year, which is somewhere between $50 and $55. So don't think that your $20 isn't worth it to the ACLJ, and especially when we're doing a matching challenge like this. And it's why I'm coming to you from different colored backgrounds all over the country while we travel. And we'll just letting people know what we're working through, of course, through these holiday time periods and then kicking off the new year, the Speaker of the House getting elected. And I also want to talk about what is the biggest kind of news today is that the Florida case is classified documents case out of that crazy raid at Mar-a-Lago that I think was just stunk. And from the start, Will, it's over.
That's right. As you saw the headline, if you're just tuning in, Jack Smith has transferred the Mar-a-Lago documents case to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Florida. So Jack Smith is gone. Hit the road, Jack. That's over. We have been following this for way too long, and now we are seeing resolution. That is for the other defendants, the co-defendants, along with President Trump. Remember, President Trump's charge in that case was thrown out by Judge Eileen Cannon because she ruled that the special counsel was not authorized by the Constitution. So it also set up a district court ruling that could cause trouble for the Department of Justice using special counsels in the future. So they also have a little bit of a point here, Jordan, where they're trying to figure out how to move forward. All of this has been transferred to the Southern District of Florida, the federal prosecutors there, as opposed to the special counsel's office. But now they will need to decide whether or not the appeal that's ongoing in the circuit court will need to be also withdrawn because they were appealing that ruling that would say, no, actually, special counsels are constitutionally able to go forward. So the special counsel's office is no longer involved, but the Justice Department will need to decide what to do as it moves forward there. And with new leadership at the Justice Department, I think we could see some changes going on there in the new year as well, Jordan.
Yeah, I'd have to look at the legal kind of surroundings by this. And of course, this would be a decision ultimately up to the next Attorney General of the United States, our good friend Pam Bondi. And it's nice to be able to just say that to you right now. What a change it's going to be for that level of work that we do at the American Center for Law and Justice to have someone we've worked with so long taking that position. And we're going to have to fight for her confirmation. But in a sense, I wonder if there's a legal mechanism for them to withdraw their challenge and accept that position. They may need that to go, though, to the U.S. Supreme Court so it's not just that district. But I think you could see the end of a special counsel potentially, depending on the legal rules of that jurisdiction. We'd have to look into it. In fact, I'm telling my team right now, who are watching and listening, let's try to get an answer on that before we're off the air today about what options would be available to the Trump-Bondi Department of Justice. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. Do you want to see the end of these special counsels that aren't, again, they don't get the advice and consent of the president? And of the Senate, that is. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. Welcome back to Seculo. I think this is a great way to finish out 2024. Not only do we have an incoming president who shares our values, but talking about these department heads that we're going to have to fight for their confirmations. We know those battles are coming up, whether it's Pete Hegseth for DOD, our colleague Tulsi Gabbard, who is, again, even a lot of Republicans, those moderate Republicans, are afraid of someone who wants to shake up the way our intelligence works so that we're not abusing the Constitution, even disregarding the Constitution, and utilizing all those foreign provisions to actually spy on Americans. I can't think of a better person than Tulsi Gabbard to be in that position. We had Rick Grinnell, our colleague, go in there to make sure that they were classifying things correctly and not keeping things from the American public just because they wanted to keep everything a secret. And so he went in to declassify the info that had no business being classified from the American people. And we've got to keep that going. The swamp hasn't been drained. So this is the critical day. For us, Will, this is the day we raise the most money of the year. I'm never usually that bold about, you know, just saying money, but that is the truth. And usually it's over $1 million, closer to $2 million that we raise in just this one day. Now, when your average donation is about $50 to $60, that is everybody watching this or listening to this, whether we're live right now or it's sometime before midnight where you are tonight, your donation of any amount is tripled. So that $50 that you have, and you're going through some year-end giving, your church, to other organizations you care about, if you're in that financial position to give, that $50 is $150. That's triple our average donation. That's how we can get to that number over $1.5 million, closer to $2 million. And what does that mean? We never have to say no. If we have to take on a Jack Smith, we take on a Jack Smith. If we have to take on high-profile clients, we have a way to handle that. You are supporting a team that has, again, gotten a president of the United States acquitted by the U.S. Senate after being impeached by the House, a team that has represented the United States and Israel at the International Criminal Court, but also that same team who defeated Mueller as well, and the Mueller investigation, another special counsel we had to deal with. So, folks, I think we have a lot of knowledge when it comes to that. I want to take your calls about it, 1-800-684-3110. Do you think that there should be special counsels when we have U.S. attorneys all over the country with big staffs who could certainly do this job? There's really, again, we've seen the abuse of it when it comes to President Trump. Even the opposite of abuse when it came to President Biden, when they said, oh, well, you know, he did all these crimes, but he's too old to ever sit down. Now, again, he's a sitting president. They weren't going to be able to bring charges anyways. But the difference in treatment, you know, if he can be president of the United States, probably has to have the cognitive ability to stand trial. This president coming in, President Trump, around the same age, has had to do that. Think about those hours and hours he has spent in courtrooms. The way they trashed Mar-a-Lago, all using your taxpayer dollars for nothing. But when you're donating to the ACLJ, you are donating to the team that has beaten Mueller, that has beaten back impeachment attempts. And we want to represent you with just the same talent. Now, how do I do that? I have to have a lot of resources available to us at the American Center for Law and Justice. Our teams, whether, you know, put together by my dad, put together by me, put together by Logan, or other senior attorneys that we have at the American Center for Law and Justice, we add attorneys, we contract with attorneys as needed. So even in very complicated, big cases, always contact us at aclj.org/help. If we take your case, it does not cost you anything. And you're getting the same lawyers, which was a very different price, by the way, who have handled those matters like representing the president. But to you, no cost. To your church, no cost. To your organization, no cost. Think about all the Tea Party groups and conservative groups we've represented. We made sure President Trump was on the ballot so he could secure the primary. I mean, that's how long we've been fighting for this president, so that he's in a position now to put forward the best people as his nominees. And we have really good contacts in the U.S. Senate who, again, we should be able to pretty much go and make calls. I'm not saying to all the Republican senators, but to most of them. And even those on the fence, They'd have to have a pretty good reason why not to trust our opinion at the ACLJ on nominees, especially ones like Tulsi Gabbard, who have been our colleague for more than a year. That's why you support the American Center for Law and Justice. You are part of that team. Whether you give $50 today, and that's like $150 to us, your $10 donation is $30. You know, think about that. But a $25 donation right now to the ACLJ being worth $75 to us right now, that's more than our average gift. Will, that is how we are able to take on these huge cases and at the same time represent a nurse for her conscience rights or a family and a kid who can't pray privately on a track team at a public school.
That's right, Jordan. And I kind of want to draw a contrast there, because if you think about this year, 2024, and what a pivotal year it was and where we were at this point last year as we were waiting to hear just a few days from now that the Supreme Court would take the 14th Amendment case. It was something we were fighting throughout the fall of 2023 as the states started to mount these challenges to President Trump being on the ballot. But when you think about that, about what the ACLJ stood for, as we represented the state parties in many states, but the one that ultimately got to the Supreme Court, which was the Colorado challenge, after just in mid-December of 2023, the Supreme Court of Colorado upheld the ban of President Trump being on the ballot. But if it weren't for the legal team of the ACLJ, what a different year this would look like, because the radical left and the cronies that had this this plan hatched to keep someone off the ballot that millions of Americans were voting for or planning to vote for in upcoming primaries, then the American people's right to vote for the candidate of their choice would be taken away. And for all the talk of defending democracy that we heard from the Democrat Party, they didn't mean real democracy. They didn't mean the people choosing. We saw that play out when they swapped their candidate from Joe Biden to Kamala Harris. They mean the right for you to vote for the person they want you to vote for. What a different year we would be in right now, and different place we would be in, if it weren't for the work of the ACLJ over this last year. But now you look forward and you know that these fights will continue on, and it takes outside organizations from government to continue that fight, to lay the groundwork, to do the FOIA request, to point the administration in the right direction, to fight at the state and local level. When you hear a word like this from one of our clients, this was a grandmother and her granddaughter were kicked out of the National Archives for wearing pro-life attire. This was her quote about our representation. The ACLJ and their wonderful and caring attorneys stood up to them for us. ACLJ sent a loud message that pro-life individuals would not be pushed around in our government buildings. Please support the ACLJ's great work protecting our rights. And that's just one testimonial of the client that received legal help at no charge to them. When you think about the vastness of the work of the ACLJ and what it's going to take in this next year to continue these fights, that is a sign to you right now. Go donate. Have your donation tripled. And Jordan, we've talked about this Jack Smith thing. We see in these reports that, one, President Biden thought he could have won if he stayed in, but also he was frustrated that he picked Merrick Garland because he didn't think Merrick Garland went after Trump hard enough. Of all the cases that Trump had before him, two federal cases from the special counsel, one in Florida, one in D.C., all the state cases, Georgia, New York on multiple levels. And Biden didn't think his attorney general went after President Trump hard enough. I think that tells you everything you need to know about the legacy of the Biden administration and what we need to clean up in the year ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's the legacy of the deep state. They dirty you up. They are really... Their goal is not to put you behind bars. They'd love to, but their goal is just to dirty you up when it matters during election time. Are they trying, you know, they're dropping all of this without a fight. There are still a lot of bad bureaucrats inside the Department of Justice who could still make, I think, cause trouble if they wanted to. Certainly in the future they can. And President Trump has got to get his team and Pam Bondi. It's not just about getting her through as Attorney General, and that's going to be great, but she's got to get her team in place so that those bureaucrats have real bosses and get them under control. because we've seen the problems they can cause on their own. But putting in people like Jack Smith and Bob Mueller, and this idea that, oh, we can make it fair by also investigating Biden, but he's just too old to actually do anything with. He'll just get up in front of the stands and look like somebody who doesn't know where he is. That's great for a president of the United States. Support the work of the ACLJ today. This, again, is such an important time of year for our country, for our nation, as we prepare to inaugurate the next president of the United States, for so many of our colleagues who are up for cabinet positions and other major positions. We could change the United States and our country in these 4 years, but we're going to need your help to make that change lasting. So donate today at the ACLJ until midnight tonight. Your donation is tripled. This is the biggest day of the year for us. Be part of our team. Donate ACLJ.org. Talk to us on the air. We are live this New Year's Eve, and I hope you've had a great year. And if it's been a tough year of political battles, well, guess what, folks? Time to put those big boy pants on again, because we've got more battles ahead. Now that we have won the races and won those elections, we have to get the people in place, not just the president sworn in or the vice president, but their cabinet. And each one is going to be a battle. And Will, I want to talk about that story, China hacking the Treasury Department, which has all of our financial information on individuals. I mean, it has everything. This is the organization, the department in the government that oversees the IRS, that oversees the printing of the U.S. dollar and our money. So when you hack into their system successfully, you can compromise every single American, whether you're talking about a president down to someone who is a butler at the White House, and everyone in between. They are all exposed, and we now believe they've all been exposed to our probably number one adversary. They're not yet a full-on enemy, because the amount of trade that we do and the reliance we have on each other, but especially the reliance we unfortunately have on China to produce goods. And Will, because of that, we're kind of limited right now in how we can respond to China. That's why in these next 4 years, we've got to be able to get off of China. You know what I mean? So it's great when we can work together. That'd be wonderful. It was a better system. But we have got to get ready and do the hard things in America to make sure we could exist just like we do today with all of the technology and be able to build it here in the United States. Don't let China buy every mine in Africa. They are currency manipulators. We have the money to do it. Let's do it. Let's get more active. Let's make sure we have the access to the materials. Why on earth are we letting the Chinese beat us there? It's because you have half of Washington, D.C. or more, Will, thinks they're our friends, thinks that we can work with them on a friendly relationship. They see all these moves as a strategic way to take down the U.S. superpower that we are in the world. And I don't think we've been weaker ever to an attack like that, which is not a physical military attack, but is an attack on our entire financial institution. And so they want to prove by doing that, that they're actually the superpower in the world. So again, another reason why to support the American Center for Law and Justice. We're not just active in the United States. We're active all over the world. Some countries I can tell you about, some I can't, to protect those who are working there. But you know, one that I can tell you about, places like Pakistan, where a former prime minister is in prison, and a lot of people are calling for his release. And I will tell you, in the 2 years he was president, the persecution issues, yes, they still existed. But if we got to his team, they were handled much more quickly than the current administration in Pakistan. And we have those, you know, like our client who's on death row since they were 16 years old. So many of the cases the ACLJ does, our European affiliate, the ECLJ, does our office in Pakistan, Jerusalem, you know, Jeff Balaban. A lot of these cases, I know it's hard to kind of imagine in the United States, Will, but a lot of these cases we do are life or death. I mean, this is not just protecting people's rights to talk or have a belief. This is whether or not they will be executed tomorrow or not.
That's right, Jordan. And as you look at this story that comes out of the New York Times, it says, China hacked the Treasury Department in a major breach, the U.S. says. And it raises so many questions at the end of this administration about cybersecurity of our most important government institutions, about the weakness of the Biden administration, about the fears of the Chinese Communist Party, about the incoming presidency of Donald Trump. But I have Professor Harry Hutchison here with me. And one, it also makes me very glad that politicians like Tim Walz are not going to be the sitting vice president because of their ties to China and their views on them as not really being an adversary. But Professor Hutchison, with this news late in the year, right here at the end of the year, what was your take when you saw this attack that the Chinese said they don't sponsor or support any sort of hacking, but our intelligence assessments tell us differently?
Well, number one, we should never believe the Chinese. They are long-term enemies to American interest. That's number one. Number two, the United States is increasingly vulnerable to the Chinese, in part because so many American government workers work remotely. Therefore, they're tied to unencrypted servers, just like Hillary Clinton. And that means that we are even more vulnerable. So I think it's clear beyond question that the United States is at war with China, Russia, and Iran within the realm of intelligence. And so I think it's very important to keep in mind that the incoming administration, the Trump administration, is increasingly aware of our vulnerability, and we need to take immediate action. Number one, we need to ensure that government workers return to government offices and start using encrypted servers. That would help. And then number two, we should take action against China. We should take action against Iran and any other hostile players out there. And I think Jordan is absolutely correct. We have to begin to look out for America's long-term interest. And I think with the Biden administration has been overtly focused on whom? On Ukrainian interest, on Chinese interest, on the Biden family's capacity to engage in grift. And so I think it's very, very important that we have adults in the room with the Trump-Vance administration.
And Jordan, I think also it tells us why one of our early fights in 2025 will be to get Tulsi Gabbard confirmed as the Director of National Intelligence. When you have a big intelligence problem like a hack of the Treasury Department, you need change there very quickly.
Right. I mean, I want to remind people that Tulsi, if she is confirmed in this position, will be briefing the President of the United States, President Trump, every morning on the threats to the United States and new intelligence. So imagine that an ACLJ colleague, former Democrat, who we have worked with before in the past, along the way, when we see that she is beginning to speak out more, do a little bit more media, we say, hey, can you join us a couple of times a week and join the ACLJ and the secular broadcast? And she's been a great team member here at the ACLJ, because I think where she is on these issues is where so many of our supporters are, is that we have to question these institutions, that we cannot just accept that the vast majority of the intelligence community is out to do good, and that we should just let them do their job and never look in and never change things and never maybe look at the laws that allow those institutions and agencies to quickly in a secret court treat you differently. Now, you're not going to be able to handle full FISA court reform in a day on Capitol Hill, and there's those pressures to do that. We've got to have the time. We need the time so that we replace those kind of institutions that are so important with ones that actually work, that keep us safe, both from our enemies, but also our own government's bad actors. Donate today, our biggest, most important day of the year. Be part of our team, ACLJ.org. We need your donation. I can't say it any more closely. We got to hit our goals to be ready to fight. ACLJ.org. Donate, have your donation tripled till midnight tonight.
We'll be right back. keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo in our second half hour of the broadcast, folks, on what is a very important day for us. First of all, happy New Year's Eve. We've made it through what was a tumultuous few political years, to say the least. Again, I look back, I can't even believe how long it was when we were standing there defending President Trump from his first impeachment, the ridiculousness of that, but also the seriousness of it, from the Mueller investigation, and all those bad actors who came right back and their deputies still trying to put our next president behind bars, or at least dirty him up so it would impact our elections. And that is why when we go to battle after and as President Trump takes the oath of office in a few weeks and his cabinet members' choices begin their nomination hearings, I want you to know this. This is the next round of the battle. The first battle is winning, okay? So getting the people there like President Trump. But then he has to get his team in. You have to win at the U.S. Senate. You have to get them confirmed. And that's not enough. You have to get their team, their top people, confirmed as well. And we can't have it where we confirm, let's say, a Tulsi Gabbard or a Pete Hegseth. We go down the list, a Kristi Noem, any of those positions. You look at the FBI. I mean, if they don't have their deputies in place very quickly, they are gobbled up by the bureaucracy. Remember what happened to Jeff Sessions, who was very close to President Trump, but he was alone after becoming Attorney General. And all that pressure was on him to recuse himself because what? He had meetings as a U.S. senator with the ambassador from Russia, an ambassador who everybody, including me, I remember showing it, who did anything of importance in Washington, D.C., had certainly met before and probably had a photo with. And that somehow made him disqualified for handling a potential just investigation into Russian hacking of our election. That was what it was supposed to be about, not the president being a Russian agent, Crossfire Hurricane, all those made-up issues, literally lies, phony dossiers. It could have all been done with in a few days, and it wouldn't have hampered the presidency at all. And I think it probably would have been a different outcome in the election. I think even with COVID, there would have been a very different president going for re-election. But we are where we are. We beat back the deep state. We'll continue to beat back the deep state. But Will, I think that's one of our top really issues as we go into the new year in Washington, is to make sure that those team members are in place, that it's not enough just to get the cabinet member in place. We now know if you don't get their team in place quickly, the worst actions of the government, what the attacks on President Trump, all began in the first few weeks of his presidency. Why? Because even if the cabinet individual was confirmed, the deputies weren't, which means the bureaucracy was running departments that should be run by political appointees, thus making political decisions about law enforcement and intelligence. And it plagued the administration for 4 years. I think President Trump is amazing and did an awesome job of being able to be president and go through all of that, just like we just saw him again be a candidate and go through all that. But Will, we've got to hit the ground running. And this is the day we've just got to be straightforward with people. We need your financial support. We need your donation. I can't say it any clearer. I can't ask any more. Triple. That is the match you have until midnight where you are tonight. So if you're listening to this not live, we are live right now. You're taking calls at 1-800-684-3110. We'll get to Will when we get back because I want his thoughts on that too. It's so important to get the team in place in Washington, D.C. And we've got the team ready to go on that, but we want to have as many resources as possible to get those people in place. Donate today at aclj.org. Wherever you're watching this, if it's not midnight where you are, you will get a triple donate. What does it mean to triple your donation? You donate $20 right now at aclj.org. That is like $60 for us. That's more than our average donation of the year, which is around 50. Donate today, right now, aclj.org. Don't wait. Secular. We are taking your calls. We'll get to one of those in a minute. But you know, our team, a lot of the times, they tune into this broadcast so they know kind of as things develop on the air. For instance, I wanted to pull that U.S. attorney number for you because we were talking about ending the special counsel, saying, you know, there's not really a need for that. You know, there's currently 93 Senate-confirmed U.S. attorneys. President Trump will have the option of replacing every one of those U.S. attorneys. They all submit a resignation on the inauguration day. And if there are ones you want to keep, you can keep them. If you want to replace all of them, you can. And that means their staffs as well, that are, you know, their deputies. You want to make sure they're too. Always important. So you get, there's one remaining right now that is not filled. So you get 94 total. Those are all Senate confirmed, presidentially appointed. Why should the Attorney General of the United States have the power to appoint someone with more jurisdictional authority than any of those U.S. attorneys without having to go to the Senate for confirmation, so no backgrounder, and the president doesn't get to make the decision on who it is? Now, ultimately, they do work for the president, and the president can fire them. But as you heard from the left, they would try and put forward, you know, impeachment, even though it's a power of the president. It's an office that the president technically oversees. There's no need for us paying for these additional special counsels. You can choose a U.S. attorney and maybe go through a process to give them that authority, but it needs to be one that is clear and open. And I think if they have a history, a track record of being a political U.S. attorney in the sense that, like Jack Smith, they just want to trash you and get maybe an easy conviction or even just the grand jury to say this case should move forward and there's these charges, which is very easy to do. In an election year, they do it for political reasons. That should never happen again. It shouldn't happen to anybody, whether a Republican, a Democrat, or wherever we go with our party system. If there's another party, it should never happen again to our country. And then secondly, Will, our team, they listen to this broadcast. And we're working on, you know, how President Trump could potentially, and Pam Bondi as Attorney General, make sure that these special counsels are declared unconstitutional by working through the court system and see if that's a possibility, if that case moves forward. So we're researching that right now because Jack Smith is out. His team doesn't want to necessarily litigate that, and he doesn't care about this case anymore. You know why? Because he can't dirty up President Trump. He got reelected. He can't run again. So Jack Smith, he failed. He succeeded in what the Democrats wanted. He got these easy, kind of nasty stories. He got all the documents thrown around Mar-a-Lago, raided, all of the insanity. I mean, insanity. And that's what they wanted, was images that weren't real, like throwing all the pieces of paper on the floor and acting like that's how they were kept. But, you know, Will, our team listens in, and our director from Jerusalem, Jeff Balaban, was doing just that, and he's joining us now. And, Jeff, I wanted you you had a similar experience back when the Trump administration came in, and you wanted to tell people about it. You called into that. You're with us. Jeff Balaban, of course, oversees ACLJ Jerusalem. Tell us about it, Jeff.
Thanks, Jordan and William. You know, I was listening, and you were talking about what the work ACLJ needs to do going forward. And it's not like this is over because we had an election where a lot of the left was repudiated and it seems to be a mandate. Really, the fight continues. And I just want to share something. As you know, I do oversee Jerusalem, but I'm also back and forth because a lot of that has to do with being in Washington as well, because between Jerusalem and Washington, it's sort of like shuttle diplomacy sometimes. And I'm known in Washington, and the first week, I think it might have been day two of the Trump administration last time, I was asked to come in to the White House. They had a series of things they discovered as they're taking over from the Obama administration. And as we've all seen play out over a number of years, the deep state, truly, they weaponized so much of government at the state level, federal level, even some of the local levels, to do their will against their political opponents and against the people in so many cases. And in this case, there were a number of things that elected officials or an administration or government simply can't do. And they wanted to bring it to the attention of people like us, or specifically to us, to the ACLJ, things that law firms could do and outside groups can do that the government is stopped from doing. But they let us know about what's going on. And obviously we understand once we hear what's going on internally, the things they found that only people like us, only ACLJ was really able to do. And there were a series, I wouldn't say they gave us tasks because they just made us aware of very deep-seated problems already taking hold there. And we were able to help, whether it was using the power of the FOIA, which we are experts at and have done in terms of turning up, discovering many, many such issues that really work against the American people and against the elected will of the American people. And so it's just an example of the kind of work that we know almost inevitably follows from a transition into a new administration, is that we are called on, either directly or indirectly, to help them undo so much of the damage that's been done.
I mean, there it is. Jeff, I thank you so much for joining us. Our director in Jerusalem joining us because, again, he wanted to share his impact. And Will, that is, again, it just underscores another point, which is there is a time period where the president's inaugurated. Your cabinet is not fully confirmed, and certainly those deputies aren't confirmed. And you know what? Your enemies don't care. They're not waiting for that. They actually seize on that moment, whether they are enemies from within, inside those government agencies, or enemies like we're talking about with China hacking all of our financial information. I mean, I assume it right now that with this Chinese hack that they, of course, announced towards the end of the administration, when they are not going to be accountable for the doubt that, you know, what that, you know, issues flow from that, is that China may have been able to get financial information on everyone in the United States of America. That includes from the top of our leadership down to every single individual listening or watching this show right now. So you know what? If the Chinese are looking at our info, let them know who you're supporting. Let them know that the ACLJ, wow, what's this ACLJ? Very powerful organization. It's going to fight back when our nation needs us the most to make sure these foreign countries aren't able to get away with things, and that we get to the bottom of why we don't have technology that can at least stop China from getting access to everything. We're always going to be hacked, Will. We know that. They're always going to try to hack us. And they may be able to get through stage one, but we should be able to constantly have the resources to never let these massive breaches happen again. And we have to look inside those institutions and wonder if anyone within is a spy, and how do we treat those individuals now? Because, you know, we've gotten away from this system of execution. President Trump isn't afraid of doing that if necessary, and if the crime warrants that. I think we really have to look at that, and it's not all just coming from the outside. We know there's inside bad actors, the worst of the worst, under our constitutional system as well.
And Jordan, even the fact that, you know, this broadcast, we bring you live. We could pre-tape shows on December 31st, sure, but we decide to come to you live. And also, you see that our team is still working. Jeff Balaban was on yesterday talking about Middle East and the work ahead with Israel. But also, he was listening, still working, and said, you know what, sent me a message. I could really add to this discussion, because you know what you're talking about, the deep state being alive and well and needing to get those principals and then the deputies involved. There's a very dangerous time period in American government during this transition period. We think of the transition being from inauguration day to election day, that window. But in reality, it extends beyond as you start trying to get people confirmed. The government is in flux to some degree from holdovers, deep state bureaucrats, and the like that remain there until the leadership is completely changed. And that takes time because of our constitutional system. So that's where we come in. That's when the ACLJ gets a phone call, someone like Jeff Balaban, that they know they can trust and is capable of carrying out things, is saying, hey, you should be aware of this. Maybe go look into it. And when you support that work, when you support the ACLJ, it's working with government, it's working internationally, and it's working domestically here for clients that you may never know their name, but we stand up for their constitutional rights. And Jordan, in the next segment, we'll be joined by Logan, who has been in Europe at the ECLJ, European Center for Law and Justice, to give a little bit of a window about what the work going on there. And when you support the ACLJ, you also support that work protecting your constitutional conservative Christian values in a place that you don't even think of that often. Europe, you may think, right, it's a lost cause. It's not. They have a wall of victories you're going to see. You're going to be impressed at the work of the ACLJ there too.
Yeah, I mean, let me just tell you folks, Europe is in the middle of really a conservative renaissance. It's happening in France, though the powers that be, so the moderate right and the left there, got together to keep the true conservatives out of power, even though they won the most votes in the election. But we've seen victories in places like Italy, in Hungary, even in Baltic states. So the battle is on in Europe, and we need to be able to increase that work, working together to get great candidates there elected to really turn things around. But first priority is the United States of America. We can't make America great again without your support, and again, without utilizing all of our resources to make sure what you voted for is actually accomplished and we get as much done as possible. That's including Speaker Johnson, keeping him as Speaker. That is so key, folks. He's someone we've worked with for over 20 years. Couldn't have asked God for a better Speaker, literally, for us to be able to work with at the ACLJ. President Trump and the whole team. Donate ACLJ.org. Logan's coming up next from Europe.
Welcome back to Seculo. A face you haven't seen for a week or so has been Logan Seculo. You may wonder, where is Logan? What's he doing here at the end of the year? Well, he's actually been working as well. He went over to meet and work with our team at the European Center for Law and Justice. And I'll be bringing him on here to talk a little bit more about that. But first, I want to share a video that he filmed with Gregor Papunek, who is the Director General of the ECLJ, and we're going to go ahead and roll that now.
All right, we're inside here at the ECLJ in our offices. We're joined by Gregor, who's the director here at the ECLJ. What I love about this office is so many things, but one of the things you showed me yesterday was this. Tell everybody what they see here and behind us.
So here you are in Strasbourg. We work with the European Court of Human Rights mainly, and the Council of Europe, which is very close by here. And this is our wall of victories here. And we have to continue on this wall. We have to take out a couple and continue later on. Yeah. So in fact, we have plenty of room for our victories. In the past 25 years, the European Center for Law and Justice has been in Strasbourg. We have been involved in over 80 cases before the European Court of Human Rights. We contributed to the case law of the Court of Strasbourg, which has an impact on 47 states all over Europe and an impact as well on the human rights worldwide, on the interpretation. So here are our main cases, our main victories. All aspects, religious freedom, freedom of expression, defense of the countries, issues of immigration, family, life of poor, euthanasia, abortion, and so forth.
We're going to take this idea also and bring this home, because we don't have a wall of victories at home, and I love this. I love that your team gets to walk through and see this when they're working and get you inspired and get you pumped. What I do see, though, is there is an empty spot.
Yes, there is an empty spot, as there is a very recent victory. This was a draft resolution to be voted at the Council of Europe. This text promoted legalization of prostitution in Europe. And so we clearly and strongly opposed this text. And we managed to have this text rejected and just, you know, throughout. So this is our most recent victory, a victory before the Parliament, the European Parliament here in Strasbourg, and we will now add this victory.
So it's a fight for human rights, for against trafficking, and all the things we support. I want to tell you this, when you support the work of the ACLJ, when you give a donation to the ACLJ, part of that obviously comes here and gets your values spread all around the world. So it's really amazing the work you're doing here.
And I want to thank very much the donors of the American Center for Law and Justice, which allows us here and the team here to do all this great work. And we are also very happy for this good collaboration, transatlantic collaboration, between the European Center and the American Center for Law and Justice.
It's amazing. It's been great to be here and to see all that you've been doing. Even right now, during the holidays, still busy. So let's get this up on the wall. Another addition to the wall of victories.
Thank you for filming that video with Gregor. But first of all, it's an office that not a lot of people see very often. We reference it, but tell us a little bit about your meetings that you had with our team at the ECLJ, European Center for Law and Justice.
We've been in that office now for a quarter of a century, for 25 years. And to see the success they're doing and they're having there is really remarkable. And as you saw earlier, that wall of victories where they are sharing not only what you'd say is American values, but values, Christian values, with the world. And when you donate to the ACLJ, as I said, Part of that donation is going to help fund the ECLJ, the European Center for Law and Justice. Again, fighting for a lot of the same causes that we are. They're having a lot of the same issues in Europe as they are having, as we're having in America, obviously fighting for life and all of those things that you heard about. But it was really cool to see everyone and to see members of the team. I mean, when you saw that video, that was filmed just a few days ago. That was actually on, I think, Christmas Eve. And that team was there working. Gregor was there working, getting ready for the next case. And I think he's gone and he's somewhere else right now on ECLJ work. So they're doing amazing things. And I think we need to always remember that they're there, that it's happening. We could get a little lost and, like you said, not focused on it because obviously we had a big year, an election year in America. It's going to be hard to compete, if you will, with that. But at the same time, I'm able to come over here, see what they're doing. And I would love to see in the comments, I would love to see if you'd like to hear more from our ECLJ team. They have a studio set up there. They could pop on this show once a month, come in, give me an update of what's happening in Europe at the ECLJ. Again, Gregor asked me, he goes, what can we do to have a better media presence? I said, well, part of it for me is going to be talking to our audience and telling them why it's important that the ECLJ exists. It's very easy to become a little isolationist and just talk about America, but understand that your Christian values and a lot of what you see, Will, you can kind of speak to this, at the UN is actually on behalf of the ECLJ.
That's right. And as you mentioned, even in that wall of victories, many of these things that the ECLJ fights for are the same conservative Christian values and the same fights we have here in the United States. But these aren't just American values. We believe these are universal human values, the sanctity of life and standing up for the unborn, things of that nature that it's easy to think, oh, Europe's a lost cause. But you see that wall of victories that we have an impact at the ECLJ. But also when we fight for the persecuted or when we fight against Iran or stand up for Israel, we do that through the arm of the ECLJ, which is the member of the UN. And so when we are able to do all of those things, whether it be the letters that we send off, the fights, the oral presentations that we give, that's through the ECLJ. So it's a very vital, important arm of the work we do here. And when you give to the ACLJ, it funds that. That is the mechanism that we are able to stand up in places most American organizations, Logan, can't do what the ACLJ and ECLJ are able to do as a team.
No, and now we're going to be expanding upon that. We're going to be seeing so much more of the work of the ECLJ, and I'm going to be working with that team. Jordan's going to be working with that team even more in depth because they're amazing people doing amazing work. And as you said, it's not something that a lot of people could do. It's not something that a lot of other organizations could really have such a strong presence in Europe. And I can tell you, you may think it's a lost cause, but I'm talking to people in the streets. I'm talking to people in France, in the UK, in Germany. And I will tell you, there is very similar mood happening around these countries. And it's not just in the communities you think. I've talked to community, you know, people in the Jewish community. I've talked to people in the Muslim community, in the Arab community. A lot of them know what's happening in America. And they're wanting to see maybe similar results and responses happening in Europe and in the United Kingdom. And we can only hope that we could share some of those values and some of those, like you said, those big victories with all of you. So I encourage you, again, as I'm here traveling in Europe, I just would encourage you all to support the work of the ACLJ, because when you do it, it's not just a domestic thing. It can go worldwide. So again, I know Will's going to take it from here, but thank you all.
All right, folks, as you've heard, there is so much happening at the ACLJ, and the deadline for our Faith and Freedom year-end drive is midnight tonight. This is the last day to have your impact tripled, as we have that triple match going on. And whether it be the ECLJ or our policy team on Capitol Hill or our legal team, as we go up against a new entire swath of judges that the Biden team has put in place over this last 4 years. We will keep fighting, but we can't do it without you. Triple your impact. Donate today before it's too late, ACLJ.org, or scan the QR code, but donate today, ACLJ.org.